Good morning and welcome to the June 24th episode of MSP Dispatch. Joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco, and I'm Ray Rossini. How you doing, Tony?
Good, Batman, previous episode. How are you doing, not Batman?
I'm butchering the intro, but I'm getting better in my voice, so I'll take the little wins where I can.
You sound much better.
Thanks. I'm getting lots of rest now that I'm not, you know, roaming the streets at night, sitting on building tops and looking for malevolence. So
let's get into the news.
There we go. Let's get into the news. Our first story is that Adobe Acrobat knows better about your security than you do. A Bleeping Computer has reported that Adobe Acrobat is checking components from at least 30 different security products to deny them from monitoring for activity. PDF files have notoriously been a common vector of attack using methods such as attaching commands to the open action to run PowerShell and other malicious actions. Adobe's AV list includes Bitdefender, Avast, Trend Micro, Symantec, Malwarebytes, ESET, Kaspersky, Sophos, and several others. The querying is done using the libcef.dll, which is a Chromium embedded framework DLL used in a variety of systems. When reached out for comment, Adobe responded to Bleeping Computer, "We are aware of reports that some DLLs from security tools are incompatible with Adobe Acrobat's usage of CEF, a Chromium-based engine with restricted sandbox design, and may cause stability issues. Bleeping Computer has reached out for additional comments, and Adobe assures us that they are working on the issue." Tony, nothing could ever go wrong from whitelisting a folder or blocking antivirus from checking. I believe that was the exact methods used to breach Kaseya back last year, actually almost a year to the day of this episode. Is this short-sighted? Is this malicious action by one of our vendors?
I am just so happy that Chromium is not commonly used, because can you imagine the impact if a lot of people used the Chrome mechanism on the back end?
I don't know if you know this. We're using it right now for this broadcast.
Oh, no. What are the odds? Well,
yeah. I mean,
okay.
that's the thing, right? It's scary. We're not talking about, like, they're leveraging tools that are on nearly every system. I mean, I can think of probably half a dozen apps I have on my computer right now that all have Chromium frameworks in it. And, you know, Adobe is leveraging that to block access. I mean, I'm sure they have their reasons, but they haven't stated what their reasons are. I mean, can you even guess at, like, why they would want to block AVs from seeing their processes?
I have a lot of emotions about this, because malicious intent is the first thing that anyone who has a sensitivity to or exposure to or education of, we'll call it suspicious or suspect activity, malicious activity. Once you understand the anatomy of it, the mechanics of how it all fits together, you start to really look at everything a little differently. In this particular case, the fine line between sheer negligence, oversight, all the way to maybe they're doing something that's a little bit suspicious, maybe there's underpinnings that they don't want anyone to see, could be revealed by doing this. But it's a very fine line. And those that are active in the security space, those that have a higher level of exposure, should immediately be questioning what is actually happening here. And I'm really interested to see how this evolves. Is this something that's systemic through other products? Is the first of many vendors that we're finally seeing something like this come up in? Is this just a very, very simple act that has a nominal at that potential impact in a vacuum sealed container with this particular combination of events and assets? I don't know the answer. What are your thoughts, Ray?
I mean, it takes an immense amount of effort to start coding for this, to start looking for specific programs. They've compiled a list of security software they're looking for. This is absolutely intentional action. This wasn't a byproduct of something else. They were looking for these tools. And I couldn't find anywhere on any, I did my own research looking for release notes where they said they were doing this in a specific version or specific update, and there's none. It seems to me overreaching on their part, especially in this day and age. It seems tone deaf, for lack of a better term, because in this age where we're trying to secure as much as humanly possible, and we don't know what's under the hood of so many of our applications, and we have to trust, this erodes the trust of those users. It's just one more reason not to use Adobe products, which is unfeasible, right, for a great many of us. But it's plain unfair, I guess, if I have to put a term on it. It's unfair to the user, it's unfair to those trying to secure them, and especially it's unfair to the MSPs, that if something goes awry, they're the ones on the hook for cleaning up the mess, getting that end user, that business up and running again. It's an abuse of power, not to have too much conjecture here. Let's move on for that. Speaking of overreaching visibility and getting too much data, you have some, you have a story regarding that, right, Tony?
I do. And it's all about the megapixel, or the metapixel, as illustrated in Health IT Security. You like that? The healthitsecurity.com article. Meta, the parent company of Facebook, is facing a lawsuit over its use of the metapixel tracker in scraping hospital websites for health data. The report found evidence that the metapixel, a portion of JavaScript code that allows websites to track visitor activity, was being used on hundreds of hospital websites. According to Meta, the metapixel can collect anything present in the HTTP headers, button click data, form field names, and much more. The markup tested the websites of Newsweek's top 100 hospitals in America and found that the metapixel was about on one third of them. In fact, the metapixel is present on more than 30% of the most popular websites. Password protected patient portals. Packets of data were allegedly sent to Facebook whenever somebody clicked on a button to schedule a doctor's appointment. Ray, I can't wait to unpack this. This is a devastating, devastating story on so many levels. You're going to schedule a doctor's appointment and you have to schedule something. And what is the category? It's cancer. And, how critical is this? Absolutely critical. Pain level, 1 through 10, or, critical, whatever it may be. You're submitting this and Facebook knows all of this now. And that's in your secure browser that you logged into. If people understand personal healthcare information, PHI is incredibly, incredibly, we'll call it confidential and locked down, but it's not. Napoleon once said, history is a fable that is agreed upon. How is this going to end up? What are we going to end up talking about after this? Was Facebook the good company, or is Facebook consolidating information from everywhere, from everyone? And the question is, what are they going to do about it? Or what are we not knowing that they're doing with it? Unpack it, Ray. What are your thoughts?
I mean, are you paranoid if they really are watching you? The tracking pixels are not new, right? Like, we already know, like, if I go search, we were talking about like our toys and our gadgets before we started this, the recording. And you know how it is. You start searching for like one light, like you send me the light bar and I'll start searching for it. And even after I buy it, every website I go visit, it doesn't matter if it's Bleeping Computer, if it's the Reddit RMSP sub, any website I go visit, I'm going to get ads for that, whether I have bought it or not. That we're used to that. And that's fine. And to a certain degree, certain people are okay with varying degrees of privacy. And I get that. And some use Brave, like you've said, use Brave. Some use, they do not track stuff. And that's fine. But the unspoken rule is that's always been a consideration of browsing the public internet, browsing shopping sites, browsing, that's usually when you think of tracking, that's what you're thinking about. You're not thinking about, I went to a website, I filled out my information because my insurance company requires me to, and suddenly that information is also getting sent out with other marketing information and getting lumped together. Like I had to go when I had COVID not too long ago, and Jason and Tom were covering for me and you were covering for me. I went to a website to fill out my symptoms and stuff like that to get a prescription for Paxlovid. And didn't occur to me once that Facebook would have that data. Now, saying it now, it's pretty damn obvious, isn't it? Like, it's
yeah, you know, it's just, like just from the browser. People listening to this, there's somebody listening to this right now and their Amazon Dot, you know, their iPhone, whatever is sitting right next to them, they're going to start getting ads for Paxlovid and for
right. Like, how many times does that happen where you have a conversation and the Echo is not, I'm sorry, if, oh, I didn't say the A word, but the Echo is not listening, or your Google device is not listening, but you're having a conversation, then suddenly you start seeing those ads. You're like, wait
it's
a minute.
Terrifying. But this isn't a secure portal. This isn't a your hospital portal. That's the part that's terrifying, is that there has to be limitations. You brought it up a moment ago, saying that you're in the public web, you know, and you're looking for something. You're looking for, we're looking for microphones and lighting equipment, and then you're going to start seeing other ads for microphones and lighting equipment.
If we accept right? As consumers, we accept
totally agree. But if I'm in my secure portal, and I am submitting information that is secure, that is personal healthcare information, they should not have access to that at all. And I'm just telling you that this article, as ironically everyday common as it sounds, this is hardly a recipe for confidence. And I think something is going to have to give at some point very soon. Just my opinion. I would love to hear your feedback on this, everyone. Is it the fact that we're plugged in, which means we're completely exposed? You're not really secure unless you're completely unplugged. Is that the rule? Is it that binary? Or is there a gradient here where maybe, I'm just calling this out, if I think I'm in a secure healthcare portal, nothing other than the doctor sees that information. Could be wrong.
Why is that a line that we should have to draw? Like, why is
exactly my point?
if I'm in the room with the doctor, I'm not sitting in the lobby, and the lobby should be sacrosanct too. But if I'm in the room with the doctor and they're holding my chart, Meta should not be part of that conversation.
No one should. You shouldn't have a Dot or an Echo or whatever. I shouldn't be worried about. Can you please shut off all of your electric devices? I don't know what's getting out.
And this is the part of the episode where we all turn off all our electronics, and then we have to stop recording because, you know.
Okay. Speaking of recording, I think we should be recording the next big thing. Ray.
So it's finally official. Kaseya has announced that their acquisition of Datto has finalized. The circle is complete. Now Kaseya is the master. As an article on CRN, they have advised that the $6.2 billion acquisition of Datto by rival Kaseya closed on Thursday, and many of the people and all the products are coming along with the deal. Notable exits are Tim Weller, CEO, who has stepped down, as well as one or two others. The rest of them that'll be staying on are Ryan Weeks and Rob Ray. They have already announced that they will be staying on. The Fred Vocola has announced that there will be no layoffs, according to this, and they have even announced plans to bring on 1,000 more account managers within the next 7 months. The transaction was a sale from Vista Equity Partners, which owned 69% of Datto prior to the Miami-based Kaseya. Well, they fixed it because earlier that said Miami. The acquisition was funded by an equity consortium led by Inside Partners, along with investments from several others. Fred Vocola announced Datto has amazing products known for having great technology, including their network portfolio. But what I noticed he was missing, Tony, out of this was he was missing comments on the PSA, the RMM, and the backup products, for which Datto is much more widely known. Fred Vocola did also send out an email to which we'll have a copy of in the show notes. The email, I'll read parts of it, not all of it, but says, "Hey, hello, Kaseya customers. I'm incredibly excited to share the news with all of you today that Kaseya has closed on its acquisition and Datto is officially a Kaseya company. Kaseya recognizes Datto's commitment to customer and employee centricity and the value of its technology and brand. It goes along and lists a fact, including what will happen with certain products, and that they will not be shuttering any of their products. They will be joining the Datto name. And they even mentioned having price reductions of up to 10% on certain products." Tony, I mean, this is big news. We expected it to come. Honestly, I expected it to happen a little later in the year. I expected Q3, Q4. So I'm a little surprised that it happened this quickly, considering this just started at the beginning of the year. But, you know, let's read the tea leaves now. CEO's gone. Their CTO is gone. There's a few others that have left on. They've announced it publicly. It's not, you know, we're not guessing here. But Ryan Weeks, Rob Ray, they're staying. This makes the DattoCon coming in September a KaseyaCon event right after their Connect IT Kaseya. So what do you think that's going to look like for that conference, that Kadado or Kaseto conference in September? How do you think that's going to change?
I'm looking at this as an amazing potential to benefit everyone at a level that we can't conceptualize right now. General rule of thumb is the value of your solution should be greater than the parts collected. And I believe what's happening is the parts being collected, one of which rhymes with Batto, and other components that have been siloed inside the Kaseya portfolio over the last 3 to 5 years are going to be brought together to have an enormous impact for the betterment of the MSP, the reseller, the TSP, even the telco agent, but the customer. The customer themselves as a whole is going to benefit from having a wider array of solutions that are tightly integrated. That being said, it's an appropriate counterbalance to the ConnectWise monster out there that also has the exact same ingredients, minus the storage, that is doing the exact same thing. And so I think what's happening, despite all of these, what I consider to be changes in the industry and generalized market shifts, I believe that it is a pre-positioning for something that is going to advance the community, the customer, the technology, solutions that are delivered themselves, not only because everyone's delivering the same things, but a more frictionless way to consume them, to manage them, and hopefully evolve them. I think that's what's happening right now. I think that we have an enormous opportunity for growth. And this is just the platform. We're on the precipice right now of something huge. And Fred Vicola, MMA fan, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu student, he is. Huge respect for that. For those of you who know, that's kind of my life. I know he is a champion. This is not just a job for him. This is a religion for him. And he's moving things forward with such a level of aggression in that direction. The end execution, I would love to see how it's going to play out. But I do feel very strongly that it's moving forward in the direction of the betterment of everything as a whole. I think it's balanced perfectly by the ConnectWise component of it. And I think the irony, since Kaseya event was just last week in Las Vegas, was it this week? Yep. Last week.
Yeah.
It's happening right now. The irony. Yeah. But we have a ConnectWise and a ConnectIt. Maybe they're just slowly becoming more of the same thing.
I truly hope that doesn't happen.
but better.
Yeah.
That's the
See, and that's one of the things. We talked about the overlapping products, right? Which is not unique. ConnectWise has, you know, the ConnectWise Managed doesn't have an analog product under the ConnectWise brand, but they do have Automate, right, which is the legacy lab tech. They have CWRMM, which is the new thing. They bought Continuum, which still continues to stand. You know, they have, you know, Enable has multiple products that compete with each other. Even Kaseya had PulseWave before, and they still continue to have it. But one of the things I was notable to me in this CRN interview was that Fred Vicola was bullish on the networking products, and he specifically went to say Datto didn't make the networking products a focal point. Now, the networking products originally were rebranded Open Mesh products. Then Open Mesh was discontinued, and some products were discontinued, some products continued evolving. When we think of Datto, we think of originally the backup suite, right? And then they purchased, they have a Datto RMM, they purchased Autotask. You know, those are three powerhouse products that Kaseya already has their own powerhouse products to compete, right? BSA, BMS, Unitrends, those are big brands. These are not tiny little products that if one gets assumed, it's not a big deal. But he didn't mention any of that, right? We're talking, we have a bunch of beta fish in the same fish tank. You have to imagine it doesn't make sense to keep them, but he's purposely not talking about that. So we want to see what, you know, I want to see what the audience says. Also, for another point of view on it, go check out the Business of Tech. I'll include Dave Sobel's original original commentary on it and his original thoughts. And according to a conversation I had with him earlier today, he thinks that it's going right along to what he thought was going to happen. So read that as definitely an alternate point of view. And then hit us up in the comments. We want to hear from you and how does it affect you as the MSP audience. So let's move over to the notable. Yeah, absolutely. Let's move over to the notable mentions. The usually we bring up something, some other story. Today, I want to bring up just the lighter side of our MSP. We all know that Reddit, our MSP in general, but you know Reddit in general as well, can sometimes get a little bit toxic. It happens. But on the lighter side, I want to highlight this post by user UGRSFTW. So GRS for the win. Let's go with that. Asking about who deserves high praise for giving into the MSP channel. There are several people noted in here. Dustin Bolander and Reed Wallach from Fifth Wall. We have Jonathan Crow from Ninja RMM. Lots of our friends, right? Kelvin Tehelar, good friend of ours, a CIPP, and all of the MSP Geek staff, you know, Gavin and Kyle Spooner and Ashley Cooper. There's tons of them. So we want to say thank you. Please go add on to that. If you have a favorite person, hit us up in the comments. But I invite you to go in there because we get so much arguing about, oh, this vendor did something wrong to me or something stupid happened. So when I see stuff like this, it makes you remember there's really awesome people out there doing lots for the channel. So we want to hear who are your MSP superheroes. Please let us know. Tony, I think that wraps us up for this episode. We got some upcoming events. Can you tell us what's coming up?
We've got a lot of events happening. Tuesday morning at 9 a.m., the MSP Dispatch presented by Ray and Tony, giving you an update of what's happened since the last episode, which is right now, by the way. On the 29th, we have the channel pitch presented by the Channel Program. On the 1st of July, MSP Dispatch, again, presented by the amazing combination of Ray Orsini and Tony Francisco. And at 5 p.m., 38 at 38, episode number 2, featuring Vicky Bruins.
That's awesome. I really enjoyed 38 and 38, the last episode with Callan Sapien. Definitely a friend of the channel. I got to know him while he was at ConnectWise for his efforts in MSP Geek. He's just a generally amazing human being. So if you haven't watched that episode, go watch 38. We'll put a link in the show notes. Definitely worth watching. He's a Aaron Bolton is an awesome guy, and his interviews were absolutely hilarious. So Tony, I hope you have an amazing weekend, and thank you for your commentary, dude. I could not do this without you.
Listen, so many amazing guests, so much information. I hosted with Batman earlier this week.
And I think awesome, this is awesome the last times. Episode that I'll have this voice. So I'll close it with this. Thank you for watching MSP Dispatch, and I am Batman.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Okay, speaking of recording, I think we should be recording the next big thing. Ray.
I like that. That was such a smooth transition, and Simon still... Right, like that was that was beautiful. That was a beautiful transition, and then it's Tony full screen. I'm like,
and it's the next big thing. My big head. No,
there you go. Finally, not my big head. I'll take it. This episode, we got some upcoming events. Can you tell us what's coming up?
We've got a lot of events happening.
Do we now?
Okay. I'm going to freeze to make it easier on the edits. Okay, here we go.